trying to capture the various mills of a Polish village. And we come to the evening tide, and this is entitled The Evening Song, a song of thankfulness. This is about. There's a young man who came, but he can't find his girlfriend. And he's groaning and moaning that here he sees Mary and Kathy and Sophie. He does not see his Sophie. And that's the whole theme of this song. Now I'll sing one more because I want to give the dancers a little rest. We'll repeat something we sang 2 years ago. The Red Belt, a warrior song, if I may.
Cervoni Pass.
From the province of the capital of Poland. And now, may I present, this is the younger element who will dance this dance for you.
God bless her, in her community there, to tell you a little bit about what they're going to do. Miss Frances Valenta of Mazarik Town.
Thank you, Miss Bolton, and hello, everybody. We're sure glad to see you again this year. And more tell you about the Besera Club. I introduce you our new member, Professor Brownlee Bushett.
Thank you. I would like to tell you a few things about the Besera dancers, which you will see perform in a few minutes. The Besera Club is in Missouri Town, Florida, which is 35 miles north of Tampa. This is a Czechoslovak community. There are approximately 40 members of the Besera Club who dance at all of the social activities in Missouri Town. And they perform three different dances, the Czech Besera, the Slovak Besera, and the Czechoslovak Besera. This afternoon, you are going to see the Czech Besera dance by one circle of the Besera Club. There are four circles and approximately 36 members. We have eight members this afternoon. First, I would like to introduce the members and then tell you a few things about it. To begin with, I'd like to introduce my wife, who assists us with the Besera Club. Now, the members who will be dancing this afternoon, president of the Besera Club, Sonia Sermarchek, vice president, Connie Chipko, Secretary and Treasurer Rosalie Johurek and Marjorie Burek, Dennis Vasanovsky, Danny Sambora, Danny Korvac, and Richard Nemchovich. Now, I'd like to explain to you a few things about the costumes which you see the members wearing, and my wife and myself. All the needlework on these costumes is done entirely by hand. All the costumes are made entirely by hand, and they all signify distinct elements of the Czechoslovak culture. For instance, my wife here is wearing a cap that only a married woman is permitted to wear. Also, you will notice that I wear the ribbon on the left side, being the husband. The girls are not allowed to wear caps, but they have equally beautiful costumes, and we call these costumes croys. The boys' shirts are hand embroidered and are equally beautiful. The boys wear ribbons, and their sash is tied on the right side to indicate that they are unmeritorious. Now, a word about the Besera you will see. This Besera dance is made up in several parts with different moods and characters of the dance. You will tell by the music that at times it is very lively and exciting, other times even quite reverent in its character. This all signifies certain elements of the Czechoslovak culture, and of course the folk music and the folk dance is representative of the ethnology of the people. So I believe without any more talking, we will see the Czech Besera, and tonight to come back will be the Slovak Besera. Thank you.
Česká beseda.
The grandmother to be got left off a minute ago, so here she is, pretty as a pink, Irene Dunham. Orlando, she is, instead of Bellevue. All right, and she's going to do a quick little Polish dance for us. Florida now, an international student, Margit Christiansen, who's coming to tell us folk tales. It's wonderful to have you here.
And I'm from Denmark. It is a custom in Denmark to always introduce yourself. That's why I repeated that. Now I'll ask you to listen very carefully, because last year, let me tell you why. Last year I talked to Jefferson City, Missouri. And so I came into a local straight one day. Usually when I can't speak straight, I used to tell them why I spoke a little differently. I had an accent because I came from another country. Well, on that particular day, I didn't say that for some reason or another. And a little boy kept looking at me all the time. Finally, he walked up to me and said, "Teacher, are you sick?" And so I said, "No, do I look sick?" And he said, "No, but why do you speak so funny?" So now you know why I speak funny. I'm not sick, but I'm from another country, from Denmark. And one wonderful, wonderful quotation, which I'm sure you all have heard about. And I'm going to take you all on a travel now. Would you sort of imagine with me that right now we are Denmark, and we can right now we can see Copenhagen with all the many beautiful castles, the old houses, new houses, streets with hundreds and hundreds of bicycles going in and out of the car. It's amazing nobody gets killed, but it really it doesn't happen very often. Because the Danes are very carefully, we are happy for our country. Now you have probably never seen so many old castles that you will see here, and many old buildings, and there are reasons for that. Because we like to keep our old customs, our old buildings, just like they were many years ago. Not because we don't know how to build new buildings, because all over you'll see the new modern up-to-date Copenhagen and many other things. Now in Denmark, we do not have famous people like, for instance, President Kennedy. We don't have any Marilyn Monroe either. But we have other famous people of our half. One man which we honor much in Denmark is Hans Christian Andersen, and I'm sure that everyone will connect Denmark with Hans Christian Andersen. Before I tell you two fair tales for him, I can tell you just a little bit about Hans Christian Andersen, because it is significant with his tales. When Hans was a little boy, he was just a little boy like other small boys around here, and he was so shy, he didn't like to play baseball and didn't like to talk to girls. He did later on, though. But not when he was a little boy. And so he didn't know how to do very much but sit around a little lake and dream. And you know, there are many ways we can dream. And even I think adult people, sometimes we dream things which are fantastic. Sometimes we dream things which could never, never become true. Nevertheless, we like to do it. And so did Hans. One day he kept running into his mother and said, "You know what? I am going to be the biggest thing in the whole world." And so Hans' mother said, "Oh, Hans, you're a person. You know you can never be the biggest thing in the whole world." And so Hans decided, "No, I am not going to tell adult people anymore about my dreams, because adults just don't understand. But one day when I grow up, I'm going to remember all my dreams, and I'm going to put them into stories. And those stories are going to be told all over the world in a manner that every person can understand that." And you know what? This exactly happened. And here is one of his fairy tales, and I'm going to let you guess the title. It's a story about old kings and princesses, just like you can imagine about a little kingdom, the oldest kingdom in the world, Denmark. Once upon a time, there was a prince who wanted to have a princess of his own. And so he traveled all over the world in order to find such a one. But every time, there was something wrong. He could never quite make out if there were real princesses or not. And so he came back home, and he was so upset because he did so long for a real princess. One evening, terrible storm blew up. There was lightning and thunder. A rain came pouring down. It was something dreadful. All at once, there was a knock at the city gate, and the old king went out to open it. It was a princess standing outside, but goodness, what a sight she was with the rain and the weather. The weather was running all down her hair and her clothes, and in a kick of the shoes, and up again on the heels. And yet, she declared that she was a real princess. Well, we shall soon see about that, thought the old queen. Didn't see anything. She went into the bedroom, and she took off all the bedclothes, and she placed a little key in the bottom of the bed, and then she put 20 mattresses on the top and 20 more. That was where the princess had to sleep for the night. In the morning, they asked the princess how she had slept. "Oh, dreadfully badly," said the princess. "I hardly had a wink to sleep all night. Goodness, no one was in my bed. I'm playing with something so hard that I'm simply black and blue all over. It is perfect, it's dreadful." And then, of course, they knew she was a real princess, because nobody seen, nobody could have such a tender skin as that, as a real princess. And so, the prince took her to wife, because now he knew that he had a real princess. But the little key was sent to the museum, where it is still to be seen, unless someone has taken it. There, that's something like a story, isn't it? The other story that I'm going to tell you is quite a little different. It has a little bit different background. As I told you, Hans Christian was sort of a little kind of a different boy. When he grew up, well, he liked girls like other boys do. But for some reason or another, he didn't quite succeed. I don't know if it was his fault or the girl's fault. One never knows himself. And so Hans Christian Andersen decided that he wanted to find out or tell people how funny we really are, and what things sometimes we do which really are funny. But he did not want, excuse me my hat if you don't mind, it runs down. And so Hans Christian Andersen decided to show people exactly the way they are. You know how it is in clubs everywhere, good people, bad people, even probably President Kennedy. Well, you never know though, or maybe the King of Denmark. Sometimes we tend to hear a little thing or a story, and we just love to tell our neighbors that. But it doesn't sound interesting enough, and so we just make it just a little more interesting. And this is exactly what Hans Christian Andersen tried to show in one of his fairy tales. And the fairy tale name of that one, you'll try to guess later too. I'm going to let you guess both of them, if you can remember that later on. This story, this is how it begins. "It's a terrible affair, it's a terrible affair," said one hen to another in a quite other end of the town from where it happened. "I'm afraid to sleep alone tonight. It's a good thing there's so many of us roosting together. You know what happened?" And then the hen told the story. And when he had finished the story, it made all the feathers of the hen stand straight up. And even the cock's cock were drooping. It's absolutely true. But let's begin at the beginning. It happened in a chicken house at the other end of the town. The sun went down, and hen flew out by hen. One hen was a white, short-legged bird who laid her little early eggs and wall together very respectable. As she flew up, one little feather went up, one little feather went up, and came fluttering down. "So much for that one," she said. "The more I preen, the lovelier I shall grow, no doubt." Of course, you see, that was only said in fun, because she was the fun maker among the hens, and, as we said before, most respectable. Then she went off to sleep. All was about quite dark, Hen sat with hen, but the one next to her was still awake. And she had heard, and not heard, as you often must do in this world, to live in peace and quiet. And yet, she could not help but say to the one next to her, "Did you hear that? I give no name, but as one hen who means to plug out all the fellas in love for the cock, I will simply despise that hen." Now, directly above the hen house sat the old husband with his children. They had CRBS in that family, and they could hear everything which went on in the hen house. How careless. And so the old mother rolled her eyes and fanned with her wings, and she said, "Don't take any notice, but did you hear that? One hen so far has taken out all the feathers in full view of the cock. Now, what do you think about that? I am going right over and tell my neighbor." And so she went on right over and told her neighbor. Well, not directly close to that neighbor was the dove house. And they heard something too. So they said, "What did you say? What did you say? To who, what did you say?" And the owl said, "We don't give any names, but there, one hand, some say there are two who have plucked out all the fellas in love for the cock." Now, what do you think about that? For the story is almost too terrible to tell, but it's absolutely true. And so the story went on. Two, said the doves, two everywhere. We'll tell it everywhere. And so it ran from house to house. In the early morning, you know, the cock get up very early in the morning, even though he was sleepy. And so he was up with an old, good old wooden fence, and he said, "Wake up, wake up, wake up." And he said, "There are two hens. Some say there probably are three. We have plucked out all the fellas in love for the cock. Well, they'll probably die, or because they'll probably catch the cold, if they're not dead already." Yes, two of them, in fact, are already dead. And so the story went on, because the cock said, "I don't want that story. Pass it on, pass it on. Pass it on, pass it on," squeaked the bat. And the cocks crowded and the hens clucked, and the story went on and on until it came right back to the story, to the house, from where it really started. There are five hens, that's how it's run, who had all plucked out the fellas in full view of the cock because of the love for the cock. And so they peeked at each other, so they all fell down dead, for disgrace for the family and lust for the owner too. And of course, the little hen, the little white-legged bird, who had lost the one little fella, of course never recognized the story. And so she said, "How I despise those hens, though there are plenty more just like them. And I shall do the best to get all this in all the papers all over the country. This deserves those hens right. And I am going to tell everyone who will listen to me." And into the papers it came, all there in print. One little feather can easily become five hens. Now, for the names of the titles, I wonder if any children, or bigger children, or real big children, knows the title of the story. Any hands here who would like to try? Yes? The Princess and the Pea. Very good. That's a real good gentleman. Okay, that was the first one, The Princess and the Pea. The next one, anyone who would care to try? There was a clue which went on all through the story. It's absolutely true. Now, I'm going to leave this up to you to figure out whether we always are telling absolutely the truth or not. But I'm going to tell you one thing, though, before I go, which is the truth. I like everything and everybody in this country, but one little thing, and you know what that is? I don't like peanut butter. Thank you.
Now,
having this lovely young international storyteller from far away, Denmark, excuse me. We have a lovely Danish-American lady who belongs to us, a songbird, and she's coming and sing two very short Danish folk songs for us, Mrs. Sydney Godwin.
I learned the Danish from my grandmother, who came to America from Hans Christian Andersen's land in 1880 and settled in Wisconsin. I'm going to sing a Rosalil of Hindismoda. That's Rosalil and her mother sitting talking about Rosalil's boyfriend, and he's outdoors and hears it all the time. There are about six verses, but I will sing one. Was a little lucky in this murder, this are after bold. Was a little lucky in this murder, this are after bold. They told the summoned of scant and so. Ha ha ha, sa 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 sa. Ha ha ha, sa 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 sa. They told the summoned of scant and so. About a poor crow sitting in the tree, along comes the mean old hunter and shoots him.